bring in John Molinaro. He's our Sportsnet's senior soccer reporter. John, thanks so much for doing this. We'll talk about, obviously, the Argentina-Croatia match in a few minutes. But we saw VAR again play a role this morning in the Australia-Denmark game. It has, as expected, played a role in this tournament, but it hasn't been quite the nightmare that I think a lot of people thought it would be. I think a lot of people looked at some of the spotty logistics we've seen, both in the Bundesliga, a little bit during the FA Cup in England. The logistics of using VAR is sometimes confusing, but it seems to have worked pretty well here. And I don't think you would have too many arguments from people that, you know, this has necessarily interrupted the game. I think one of the big concerns with VAR, with any instant replay or any video replay, is that it interrupts the flow of the game. But I think most people look at this and say that, you know, justice has been served by VAR.
I would agree. You know, and count me as among those who was skeptical ahead of the tournament. You know, having seen how VAR and how it's been implemented in MLS, you know, it hasn't been smooth sailing necessarily. There's been a lot of confusion about, you know, when it's implemented, how it's implemented, lack of communication with the players and people in the stands. And I think that's been sort of the key difference for the World Cup, is that, you know, FIFA has gone out and made it a point to, you know, clearly communicate what can be reviewed, what the process is. And I think, you know, the other thing is that, you know, people, the viewing audience at home, you know, be it on television and people in the stands, they know clearly what's going on when a play is being checked or reviewed. So I think it's just mostly been about communication. I think they've done a much better job with it than they have in, say, Serie A or Bundesliga and MLS. And critically, they've gotten the calls right, I would say. You know, every decision that they've made in terms of the video review, you know, overturning it, has been correct. So, you know, full credit to them. I think they've got it spot on so far. It's still early, though, and I still wonder if there's going to be some controversy along the way, you know, some sort of incident that will, you know, lead to everyone getting their you know, arms up in the air. But no, it's been pretty flawless so far. And then, you know, the interruptions have been pretty minimal. So, you know, definitely a passing grade.
And you're right. I mean, most of the interpretations that have been required so far have been fairly straightforward. It's simply been, you know, the result of rapid play, a play that the referee couldn't, you know, just has difficulty seeing. I don't know if we've really had a play yet. There may have been, I'm searching back here. There may have been a play where it was kind of 50-50-ish, but I mean the use of VAR this morning, I mean, that was a just call upon review. It absolutely was a just call.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I know people argue that they didn't think it was a handball, that, you know, his arm was in a natural position, that, you know, when you're defending in the box, you get leverage by putting your hands up. So I certainly understand the argument. For me, I think he clearly knew what he was doing, so I don't have a problem with the call. And again, you know, the referee was alerted in his earpiece, went over, checked it on the sidelines, took him, I think, less than 15 seconds, and I'm probably being charitable with that. And, you know, the penalty was given. So, again, you know, the interruptions have been pretty minimal, and I think that was one of the biggest fears, right? It was just going to disrupt the natural flow of the game, and these reviews would take forever to do. But they've been pretty efficient thus far, and I think that's, you know, that's a credit to the VAR team.
How much of a surprise is Croatia's 3-0 win?
It is and it isn't. I mean, you know, Argentina is a mess. You know, with all due respect, I know they have, you know, the greatest player in the world in Lionel Messi, although Ronaldo fans would argue with me. But, you know, they have no identity. They have, you know, Sampioli, the manager, I think this is, you know, he doesn't have a stat starting lineup. I think this is the 13th time he's changed it in the last 13 games. And it just amazes me that a team like that with, you know, Messi and Dybala and Gonzalo Higuain and Sergio Aguero struggles to score goals. You know, Sergio Aguero had, I think, 20 touches on the ball in the first half today, and Messi had 7. You know, that defense is a nightmare. Willy Caballero is not a starting national team goalkeeper. So not at all surprised that, you know, Argentina sort of, you know, tanked it like today. But full credit to Croatia. I mean, I touted them as one of, not necessarily the dark horses, but one of the teams to watch in this tournament, because you look at that midfield with guys like Luka Modric and Ivan Rakitic and Kovacevic. That's one of the best midfield cores in, you know, in the world and in the international game. And, you know, Rakitic like today, I just thought was immense. Aside from scoring the third goal that completed the route, I mean, he did an excellent job of shadowing Lionel Messi, I thought, and just pat him in his pocket the entire game. So, you know, it's a wonderfully skilled, balanced Croatian team from front to back. I mean, they have quality all over. So I thought they were full credit for the win and wasn't terribly surprised that they were able to put, you know, the sword to Argentina the way they did.
And I don't know how much of a difference it would have made, but we should point out that Argentina's first choice keeper is Sergio Romero. He has been ruled out of the tournament. So, I mean, you're right. I mean, Willy Caballero's kind of struggled to find regular time in the Premiership. And I mean, that giveaway was absolutely atrocious on the first goal.
Pretty amateur.
Mess. Just an absolute mess. Earlier today, France played. They won. I still don't think we've seen France anywhere close to what they should be, though, have we? Now, it's early, and there is, you know, tournament football, tournament soccer. There's a way you go about coaching and a way you go about playing tournaments a lot of time. There's kind of a process of building stuff up towards the next round, and there's a kind of a psychological aspect to tournament football as well that doesn't necessarily exist during league football. But even having said that, I mean, I don't know if they were in trouble today, but I think most of us expected more from France, certainly more offensively.
Yeah, although I did think they managed the game pretty well today. I mean, it was certainly a more balanced and complete effort versus what they showed in, you know, the Australia game, their opener, where they really labored in that game, I felt. You know, I thought it was smart to bring in Olivier Giroud as up front, because I think he adds a physical presence, much like sort of Jozy Altidore in just his hold-up play and the way he can battle defenders. I thought, you know, Paul Pogba, after having a quiet game against Australia, really stepped up and was, you know, effective, you know, in central midfield. And, you know, he doesn't get enough credit, but N'Golo Kanté was just immense today. I mean, mm-hmm. He did a fantastic job of marshalling the central midfield and closing down Cuella and Paulo Guerrero, who are two of, you know, Peru's more, you know, dangerous attacking players. So it's, you know, I think they needed this performance. It was kind of, I wouldn't say gritty, but it was just, you know, professional. And I think that's sometimes, you know, that's what you needed in tournament football, right, to gain a little momentum. And I think, you know, the momentum has kind of swung back their way a little bit after, you know, as I said, laboring a little bit against Australia. But, you know, two wins, you know, they're through to the second round. So I don't think French fans will be complaining too much after today.
No, there are other countries that would certainly take two wins.
Sure.
It goes without saying. Both Peru, I, you know, you never like to say you feel bad for country in these tournaments, but I do feel bad for both Peru and Morocco. I mean, lots of labor, lots of graft from all of them, hard work from both of those teams, I should say, but just not enough finish on the part of either team. And, you know, Morocco in particular, I thought they were fun to watch. And as I said, Peru, maybe not as much, but they certainly worked hard. Their fans had a good time. I don't know. I thought both of those teams maybe deserved a little more out of this tournament so far.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, I think Morocco, you know, especially, you know, played Iran and Portugal very close. Or did it play Spain? I'm confused now. I can't remember. But they played their two opponents really close. And, you know, you're quite right. I mean, but for, you know, a traditional number nine, a goal scorer, they'd still be in this tournament. I mean, they played some wonderful attacking football in Russia. And same for Peru. I think they've gone out and tried to attack and tried to win against teams with, you know, much better quality and much more depth than them. So I think that says a lot about, you know, their character and, you know, their coaching staffs, their respective coaching staffs, and just their philosophy about going out and how they play the game, as opposed to, you know, teams like Iran and Iceland, who, you know, I get that Iceland, you know, tied Argentina. Fair mm-hmm. play to them, but my God, they play a dour and dire.
They really do, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, nothing would please me more than to see them like eliminated because they're just, you know, dreadful to watch. I mean, it's, I'm not discrediting them. I mean, full credit to them for the result that they got, and it's very difficult to do what they do. It takes massive amount of concentration and organization, but it's not at all easy on the eye. And, you know, mm-hmm. you'd much rather see a team like Morocco who kind of goes out and tries to, you know, force the issue. You'd much rather see a team like them stay in the tournament than someone in Iceland who just plays essentially not to lose.
So what's your overall take on the World Cup so far? The trends we've seen, the type of football we've seen. What's your overall takeaway from it?
Well, the biggest thing that stands out for me thus far is that, you know, the importance of getting the first goal. No, there hasn't been any come from behind wins yet. Mm-hmm. So you score first, you're either going to win or at the very least you're going to, you know, draw. So I think you can't sort of overstate the importance of getting that first goal. The other thing that's really, you know, amazed me is how many set piece goals there have been. I think the majority of goals have been from dead ball situations as opposed to open play. So it sort of speaks to the importance of, you know, not sort of giving away critical fouls around the area because, you know, chances are few and far between. And if you give, you know, say someone like Ronaldo a chance around the box from a set piece, then they're going to convert. The other thing is there's been a lot of own goals as well. So mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, deflections off defenders or just defenders making silly mistakes and bad goalkeeping errors. I mean, obviously we saw the Caballero thing today, but David De Gea, who I think is probably the best goalkeeper in the world right now, he made that horrific gaffe against Portugal in that classic 3-3 game. So those are kind of just a few of the things that really stand out for me. Just I've been pleased that there's been goals in every game. And, you know, there really has, aside from Russia and Saudi Arabia, I can't think that there's really been any, you know, out and out blowouts. They've all been somewhat competitive or, you know, the result was hanging in the balance for most of the game. So I think that's encouraging as well.
Now we'll see a couple of the, three of the bigger countries play their second matches. Three of the, I guess, the more fancy teams play their matches in the next couple of days in Brazil, Germany, and England. Let's talk a little bit about Germany after that 1-0 loss to Mexico. You know, saw a couple of people on Twitter said, well, okay, so Germany now knows what they have to do right to win the rest of the tournament, which I think is a little optimistic. But what are you expecting from Germany and Brazil in particular?
Well, I mean, from Brazil, I think, you know, this might sound strange to say, but I think Neymar has to be less involved, not mm-hmm. more involved. I think one of the problems against Switzerland was that, you know, too often they were trying to get the ball to him, and too often he was trying to take players on instead of, you know, sometimes the best option is, you know, moving the ball on with one touch as opposed to, you know, hanging on to him and try to beat one or two guys. And I think that's what he does. And it's fine when he's playing for PSG against someone like Laurent in the French league, but it's another thing at the World Cup. So, you know, I think he's just got to be a little bit better about sort of moving the ball along and not getting caught in possession and playing for fouls all the time, which seems to be his MO. Germany, I think what really did them in against Mexico was they were really caught off guard by, you know, Mexico's pace, especially down the wings. And it surprised me too, because it seemed like they were playing a, you know, a pretty high line at times, and they were leaving, you know, a large gap of space in between, you know, midfield and defense, which, mm-hmm. you know, was perfect for Mexico to exploit. So expect them to tighten things up a little bit, probably not, you know, defend such a high line and just try to slow the pace of the game down a little bit and try to sort of play it at their speed and dictate the pace that they want to have, as opposed to, you know, reacting to what their opponent was doing like they did in the Mexico game.
Yeah, that's the thing that really sort of surprised me. It's been a while, I think. Well, there was a game in the last World Cup. I'm trying to remember who it was against, but it's, we don't often see Germany chase a game, and you really got the impression against Mexico that's what they were doing, that they were chasing the game. They were reduced to sort of hunting for the ball, not what you typically expect from a German team.
No, I think that's exactly right. I mean, you expect sort of like a measured, you know, methodical, deliberate pace of the game from the Germans. So it's not to say they can't play, you know, on the break or fast or mm-hmm. speed. They can, but it was as though they were chasing the game and Mexico was dictating how the game was going to be played at what tempo. And I think that was, you know, that's completely antithetical to what Germany does.
Good stuff, John. Appreciate you doing this as always.
No problem, buddy. Anytime.